Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works, because Aero Cart is an 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, which allows me to transport heavy loads all over the place because it's like having a wheelbarrow, triple mover, and dolly all in one. It's an official triple threat. Because with the Aero Cart's two oversized wheels, even awkward loads stay balanced so you never have to strain your back. And with patented Turbo Lift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. And believe me, that is helpful when I'm trying to transport heavy things around the house, because it is 8 things in one. Whether you're moving stuff around the Big Brother house or your own house, check out some of the Aero Cart clips at works.com to see exactly what it can do. Whether you're moving bags of topsoil, gravel, or even a refrigerator around without any help, which is perfect for me because I don't have any friends that'll help me move stuff. Now I can do it all because I can move it all, lift it all, haul it all, and be a know-it-all with the Works Aero Cart. Go to aerocart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping, which is a great deal. Aerocart.com, AEROCART.com, and receive free shipping at checkout. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who has once again lowered the RHAP flag to half-mast. I am Rob Cesternino, and it's a day of mourning as a continent cries out tonight after the injustice that took place as Mitch Muffin, Mitch Mastermind, is gone from the house thanks to another twist of Big Brother Canada. Full coverage tonight. We will begin with our live feed correspondents that are here with us tonight. Let's start over with Taryn Armstrong, who's gone to full Gisling bandana mode as a way to cope and come to terms with this sad news. Taryn, how are you at this hour?
I'm really fired up, Rob. You know, I just can't do it anymore. Big Brother Canada production is. I can't.
Yes. Well, this is, look, we're all trying to come to terms with this and where we go from here. Let's also go to, we had to bring in a second live feed correspondent tonight to talk about this. He is also trying to come to terms with everything that has happened. He is dealing with it. He has gone full Audrey. Alex Kidwell is here with us tonight as well. Alex, how are you?
I'm less fired up, Rob. I'm just sad.
Sad.
Sad day.
It is a sad day. It's a sad night. Day turning into night here as we are almost 24 hours out from the Mitch massacre from this week. I actually spoke to Mitch earlier today. That exit interview is available in our podcast feed. Typically this season, I had been putting up the exit interviews at the end of this one, but I felt like that this one was important enough to put it out on its own. And Mitch sounds well. He sounds like he's in good spirits at least. So that is good. He becomes the first member of the jury, and he goes on from here. Taryn, is there any reason for optimism that we could have some sort of a buyback at this hour?
I really doubt it. I mean, obviously there's more twists coming, but there's already so many people in the house. Like, they already need like two triples at this point to get everyone out in time. So I really doubt it.
But Alex, wouldn't that be poetic justice if that Mitch died by the twist? Should he not rise from the dead by the twist?
Yeah, but you know, I think there's a line in Game of Thrones where you know, if you're expecting this, Rob, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, but isn't there also a line on Game of Thrones where it's like, oh, that guy that you thought was dead, well, he's gonna be back for the next season.
No spoilers, Rob.
Okay, well, maybe not yet. Maybe I saw that in the preview. Well,
what's gonna happen is there's gonna be a twist and somebody's gonna get to come back, and it'll just be like Raul.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's pick up the pieces here tonight and go from here. Of course, we're going to take your tweets and your comments from our YouTube channel, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube as we go along here as we close out week 6 of the Big Brother Canada 4, which I can't believe how far along we've come. I can't believe that we're 6 weeks into Big Brother Canada. Does feel like there's a lot of people still left in the house. Because like, Taryn, are we at like the halfway point of the season?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had so many extra people to begin with, and then we had the fake double eviction. So it's just like, where are they all going to go?
I don't know. All right. So let's talk through everything that happened with Mitch and how we're coming to terms with it. You know, from the TV show, we didn't spend a ton of time on the campaign. You know, we were doing like wacky stuff with, you know, oh, you guys complained. And so we're showing you Cassandra on TV over and over again and stuff like that. Taryn, how close did we come to Mitch flipping this thing around?
Not very close. I mean, he did the best that he could, but as soon as he was nominated against Joel, he was done. There was nothing he could have done because any argument he could make, Joel can make better because Joel put Kelsey up on the block. He sent her home already. He's proven that he's capable of doing that. And Mitch, everyone, his game was revealed to the entire game. So it's like, there's nothing he could have done.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alex. I spoke with Mitch in the exit interview about was there any regrets about going sort of full Heisenberg or full Giesling mode of like, okay, well, now I'm going to go crazy on you. Now, could he have gone the other way with it? But I guess you can't out-nice Joel either.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right? And like, you know, he pretty much had to pick a group and try to endear himself to them. But, you know, the third wheel group, like obviously Kelsey is set on what she's going to do. And she's, you know, I mean, Arissa tells them that like they've seen live feed footage. So just that knowledge alone, now Kelsey can say anything and be like, well, I've seen it. And it's, you can't refute that. You know what I mean? So if he goes that route, then, you know, they're not interested. And then on the other side, like Taryn's talking about, the people whose votes he did ultimately try to rally, they just, I mean, you know, Joel's actions say the same thing as his words right now. So it's just really, really unfortunate and just total vice he was put in.
So, Taryn, let's just try to, I hate to even use the word eulogize Mitch because it makes it feel, it's too soon, but... So when we're trying to write the book on Mitch, do we say that he was a amazing player and 100% he got screwed over by bad luck? Do you feel like that there were mistakes in his game that he made, which really we weren't privy to until this week? Did he do something wrong?
Well, so this is important to note because any player that's ever lost this game has done something wrong. Any winner of this game has done something wrong, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily their fault that they left. There's a lot that's up to luck, and this one is very primarily up to luck. Mitch was in a very good position prior to this week. He had just defeated Tim on a head-on-head battle to keep Dallas, and he got rid of Dallas. That was so big for his game because he picked up Maddie and Ramsey. He had them in his pocket. He had Nikki in his pocket. He had Raul in his pocket, and he had Jared out in front of him as a shield. At that point, if he had stayed in the game, Raul had won HOH, you'd probably be looking at Tim or the brothers or Cass going home next week, and he'd be in a very, very killer position moving forward. Some people have said that, like, oh, you know, if he had been better, then he wouldn't have been caught by this twist. But that's just not true. Every single person in the house was doing the same thing he was doing. He was just doing it the best. And he was the one who happened to have the two people in that room. As he mentioned in your exit interview, the only two people that could have been in that room to mess up his game. Had it been anybody else, it could have messed up somebody else's game. For instance, if Dallas was in that room, he could have revealed that Tim made a deal with him to go after Jared and Raul, and that would have sent Kelsey after Tim instead, you know? So it's all over the place, and the bottom line is this is just a really, really terrible break for Mitch, and it's unfortunate that he goes out in this way.
Alex, in hindsight, I remember it was, whether it was week three or week four, when Joel became the HOH, that we were talking about it on the show, and we were talking about, boy, it does seem kind of crazy. Why would Joel and Mitch, who've done such a great job of staying in the middle, why would they have won the HOH competition? We said, oh, well, you know, they were very afraid of, you know, of the team of Jared and was it Jared and Dallas, where it could have been the HOH instead of them if they didn't win it and they went for it. In hindsight, was that a huge mistake of winning that HOH?
I don't know that it was a huge mistake, because I really do feel like at that time that there was danger if, you know, if Jared or Dallas had won HOH, because, I mean, both of those guys are pretty set in their ways and pretty hard to convince. And they were kind of, you know, feeling like I do remember Mitch and Joel's names getting tossed around, you know, a lot right around that point. And it's all about timing. You know what I mean? But I mean, yeah, like Terrence said, you know, he certainly didn't play perfect, because nobody plays perfect. There's just simply too much time to do everything perfectly. Like, only a robot could do that. So, you know, the simple fact is that he was, yeah, I mean, he was double dealing, but, you know, without extraordinary circumstances. I mean, because not only do you have a returnee, like a Big Brother 16 situation where someone can collaborate with other people outside of the house, but they also did it this late, like Big Brother Canada 3. And then with the live feed element, like I was saying, like just the announcement, just the knowledge that live feeds were viewed gives somebody like basically a like free rein to say anything. And it's going to be taken as gospel, because people are like, well, she's seen footage that we just haven't seen. Like, I got to just accept this as truth, I guess, you know? So it's really, really tough.
And it is important to note that Kelsey came back into the house with a very exaggerated version of events for Mitch. Like, obviously he was double dealing to some extent, but her version of events is way over the top. They went crazy in that room and came back with a lot of weird ideas about what he was doing that just weren't true, but he couldn't deny because she saw the feeds. And of course, Joel also, we didn't necessarily see this because the feeds were blocked, but I think I've seen some people confirm it afterward. Joel confirmed everything that Kelsey was saying by saying, like, yeah, I was doing that with Levita, totally.
Yeah. Taryn, you know, we always joke around about on the podcast about you should go into the Big Brother house and go to sleep for the first 30 days. Did Mitch actually, while he was playing extremely well, should you not even play, especially in Big Brother Canada, whereas you know somebody, a Cindy with an S is coming back in, or a Kelsey is coming back in, or something is going to be happening in terms of the Canada twist? Like, are you better off just go there, do not even talk game with people in the first 30 days?
Well, we actually saw somebody try that this season, Christine.
Yeah.
That is the problem.
Yeah, because like nobody actually goes to sleep. Even Godfrey was doing stuff in those first few weeks. He was making connections with people. He was talking game. He was actively creating a perception of himself that was, you know, in a certain way. And you can't do nothing. You have to make relationships. And that's all he was doing. He was making relationships, and it bit him, and everybody was doing it, and it could have bit anyone.
Mm-hmm. Could you try to not get involved in the politics in the house? Like, is there a way that you could just like stay out of it to a degree where, you know, there's no chance that somebody is going to be feeling betrayed by you? Is that possible to float enough like that, Alex?
It's really tough, you know, because what really started like the anti-Mitch sentiment was the idea that when Kelsey and Raul were up on the block together against each other, like he didn't do enough to save them from Joel and Levita. You know what I mean? Like, because Mitch had a relationship with Joel and Levita, they didn't. Like, he was somehow at fault for their being nominated, when in reality, like, those three, when they're together, like now that Kelsey's back in the house and before when she was in the house, they isolate themselves as much or more than any alliance I've ever seen. Like, it's like no one would ever doubt, like, why even name the thing? Everyone knows the three is a three because they're always off in a room by themselves talking. And the fact of the matter is, like, they went up on the block because they didn't build social relationships that everyone else did. And then they were mad at Mitch for playing a better game, basically.
Yeah. Taryn, I find the third wheel so unlikable at this point. Am I alone in this?
No, I think they're kind of the big bad of the house at the moment.
They're so indignant also about, yeah. They're so on their high horse about how.
Don't even get me started with Raul and Kelsey.
Like, all okay, of them.
He's like, he spends the whole two episodes like, oh man, this sucks so much for me that I'm betraying my friend and crushing his dreams, even though he didn't do anything to me. It's just the worst. I'm in the worst position. Why does this have to happen? And he's been moping around the house forever. Like, since this happened, like, he's just been in a coma. He's just like, oh man, what did I do to Mitch? Oh, like, oh my God.
Yeah. I can't take it when Raul is like playing with his hair too. He's like twirling around. That's annoying. That Jared is annoying, and his voice is annoying, that he's like, you know, Mitch Muffet, you know, you tried to get us out of the house. You tried to get Kelsey out, and I'm not going to have that on my watch. So you're going home now. And Kelsey on her high horse too. All three of them. I'm done with them. Done, Alex.
Yeah, I honestly can't say I blame you. Yeah, that's Jared's line, right? If you do that, you're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
Somebody else I know says that.
Yeah, he's the Abby Maria of Canada. Yeah, no, it's too much. So Taryn, you've been very vocal about how Tim is the person who benefits the most from this. And you were actually a little disappointed in Tim this week for him not trying to keep Mitch in the house. Could you speak to that?
I was disappointed that we weren't going to, you know, see Mitch stay in the game. But I was actually very proud of Tim because I'm a strategy guy. I was very proud of him for going against his kind of like instinct to be more entertaining and instead going with the boring strategy route. Mm-hmm. Because this was so good for him. The game just opened up, like the heavens just opened up, and Tim is the new god of this house. It's been amazing to watch him since Mitch has been gone. Like, it's just he was on the ropes this last week without this twist, and everything has turned around for him, and I think he's going to go really far.
All right, so Alex, where does Tim stand now at this point? Because he is now the sole super strategist in the house. He doesn't have Mitch to worry about. So does he fall in with the third wheel? Does he fall in? Does he try to keep the middle going? What's his plan here?
Well, he has a lot of options at this point, Rob, because like you said, Mitch leaving leaves just kind of a vacuum of strategy in the house. And Tim is just kind of, the man with one eye in the land of the blind now. So yeah, he's got a lot of options, and really he's just maintained a lot of strong social relationships. So there's a number of directions he could go, but I mean, he does recognize the threat of the third wheel as a three-person block. I think he recognizes that at least one of them has to go soon, but I think he's interested in finding a way to convince someone else to make that move rather than make it himself, which is smart.
Taryn, how far could the third wheel ultimately go? I mean, we saw in Big Brother US where the Oss twins ended up going all the way to the final six. Do you think that they will be broken up very soon as well?
I do. And I was thinking that, you know, last week, like as soon as Kelsey came into the game targeting Mitch, which is, it's basically like Cindy with an S levels of stupid.
That's stupid with an S?
Yes, exactly. I knew that they were going to be in trouble. And I really genuinely think that the three of them will not last more than 2 weeks. And then maybe they'll get lucky after that. But I don't even see any of them. Maybe Jared can win this game because he's pretty good apart from Kelsey's terrible strategic input. But I mean, Kelsey and Raul, there's no way.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some of the other players in the game. Alex, so what does this do for the brothers in terms of them being on the target? That Mitch was trying to stir the pot and let them know that they were going to be in trouble if they didn't keep him around. Are they in trouble now?
Yeah, a bit. And you know, the worst thing was that, they probably, like, you could argue either way, I guess, with them, but they probably benefited, I would say, from keeping Mitch. And really, in that moment when Mitch was exposing Kelsey and she was kind of like floundering, it was Phil that came to her rescue and just shut it all down, which was painful to watch. You know what I mean? Because it's really Phil that's benefiting from information that he doesn't have that Mitch is giving to him. And he's like, oh man, stop all this. Stop all this right now. Like, what are you doing, man? He's handing you a golden key. Like, stop, listen, and assess. You know what I mean? That's how you move forward in this game. And I think the brothers are just kind of, well, I say the brothers, it's really Phil. Nick isn't like allowed to do anything anymore. We've just reached the stage where Nick has just made peace with the fact that he's just like there to eat and chill, and his brother is going to make all the strategic decisions, because anytime he does something, Phil gets mad.
Yeah, it should be pointed out that Jared has been gunning for the brothers like all game, and they are still oblivious to it. Mitch tried to tell them multiple times, like, you know, Jared's coming after you. And they like Alex said, they just shut it down. Like, we don't want to hear this. We love Jared, basically. And it's like, whoa.
Now, moving forward out of this, do you guys feel like that the fix for this, does Big Brother Canada go with another twist to try to, you know, sort of course correct this thing to try to maybe, because I feel like a lot of people got a bad taste in their mouth about this. I mean, from everything I've seen, I think that the reaction to this has been super negative. Do they feel like, okay, we just need to twist our way out of this? Or do you feel like that they say, okay, hand on the hot stove, let's not do another twist, Alex?
Oh, no, there's more twists coming, Rob. I mean, that's just, you know, par for the course at this point. And I think really, you know, people are saying, like, I can't believe they did this again. Like, I, you know, didn't they listen to feedback from last year when people were upset about this? And honestly, I mean, I think what they took away from last year is that, you know, stuff like this, more than they care about the strategy and integrity of the game itself, I think they're interested in making good TV moments. And like, they get some, you know, short-term juice out of these little conflicts, and they just kind of squeeze them dry and then look for another one, you know? So it's, they're not really playing the long game in terms of appealing to the fan base, at least from my perspective. But then again, I'm not, you know, someone who watches just the TV show. I'm like an avid feedster. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I'm not someone that necessarily watches for the characters, and other people do. I watch for the strategy. So,
but Taryn, do you think that the twist could be like triple eviction type twist, or you think that we're going to get some sort of like hidden veto or something that could really change up the game?
I feel like it's probably going to be something like a triple. They need to get people out of the house. There's been this jackpot alarm that's been going off like every day for the whole season, and it hasn't been mentioned at all. So that has to factor in at some point. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how, but yeah.
Because we haven't seen Canada involved at all with a public vote. And that's been really one of the, you know, keystones of, you know, the first three seasons of, you know, some sort of heavy involvement of a vote from Canada. And we haven't had that at all. So you got to figure that that other shoe is going to fall at some point. And I wonder maybe if that's going to be karmically the thing that balances out, you know, the big boost that the third wheel got because of the twist. I wonder if that's going to be what ultimately ends up knocking them down and out of the game, is some other, you know, the other shoe dropping on them from Canada. Alex, do you think that that's going to be the case, that Canada has a say in this?
Yeah, I definitely think that's very likely. You know, they have announced that there's, you know, without getting into spoilers or anything, there's, you know, I think there's something you can vote for online right now. So I think Canada's involvement has always played a big role.
What are we voting for?
Taryn, do you know what the vote is? I haven't been able to find it.
I didn't know that there was a vote happening right now.
Okay. Well, I thought I had seen people talking about it, but then again, maybe I'm just wrong about that. But yeah, no, I definitely think like there hasn't been a season yet that hasn't involved a Canada's vote of some sort playing a role in the game. So I would expect it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Arissa did say that that Canada was going to be involved. I'm just not sure that there's a vote yet.
Oh, somebody said, Bum Vito's in the chat room says the vote starts on Wednesday. So that's what it is.
Okay. So then there's going to be some sort of a vote on Wednesday. I would imagine that somebody is going to get some sort of a power. And so, Taryn, based on what you've seen, who is Canada's favorite? Like, I feel like in other seasons we've sort of known this, but I kind of feel like that as of right now, I don't. Is it Joel?
It's Tim or Joel for sure.
For sure.
I think for sure. I think it probably was Joel, but Joel kind of dropped off the radar a little bit. He definitely kind of made a resurgence being on the block. But Tim and Joel, they've by far had the most screen time and the best content. So I definitely expect it to be one of them.
Alex, do you see it the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nikki, to a degree, too, is coming around for a lot of the fans. You know, she's not, you know, throwing tantrums and threatening to quit anymore. So that certainly is an improvement. It's a little bit of the John Robert from Survivor strategy. It's like you start out worse than you are. And then if you get to a normal point, then people are like, oh, she's doing really well.
Are we sleeping on the brothers at all for a Canada's favorite? Because do they have any sort of the John Party type appeal where he was a big fan favorite in Canada, Taryn?
I mean, they're goofy and they're fun.
That's big. That's big with the fan vote.
I think what people liked about John, though, is that he combined that with, like, you know, good strategy and also his relationship with Netta, which was very interesting to watch. And the brothers don't exactly have that.
Okay. All right. So we'll see ultimately what happens. Let's get into some questions also before we hit the live feeds. All right. Why don't we start with John Clark. Will a juror return to the house later in the game? Hashtag JP for voicemails. Yes. Parhar and I made a bet in the preview show that Cassandra, I said I thought she seemed like first boot material. She was this close to be in the pre-jury, but I did wager Jordan Parhar's voicemail spot on whether or not Cassandra made the jury. She did make the jury. Gotta go back and look at the schedule here because there's only a couple weeks left of Survivor and there's a lot of shows booked already, but we'll figure something out with Jordan. But in terms of the question of will somebody come back, call your shot right now, Alex. Is somebody coming back from the jury?
I don't think so. I think Taryn made a great point earlier. They've got a lot of people left in not so many weeks. There's still 10 people in there out of the original, like 16. So, yeah, they need to start getting people out, not in.
So 10 people left, right? So what are we going to have a final two? Do you think that we will vote somebody out of the jury again, a la Jordan from last season, Taryn?
No, it should be a 9-person jury, so...
So how many people are left in the house? 12?
10.
No, there's 10 people left.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. And Mitch is already on the jury. So 9-person jury, and that's good. And we won't vote anybody out of the house.
Probably not. JP will get to keep his title.
Keep his title. Okay. All right. And he gets to come on a voicemail show. Okay. Raisa wants to know, there's been a jury twist every season of Big Brother Canada. We have a jury buyback in season one. Canada's jury vote in Big Brother Canada 2, JP being evicted from the jury in Big Brother Canada 3, and a 9-person jury. What are some predictions for the jury twist? Taryn, are you expecting a twisty jury twist?
Not necessarily, but I guess if I, like, off the top of my head, I could think maybe they want to use that secret room again. Maybe they stick a couple of jurors in there and then, like, they get to blow up somebody else's game at some point.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's too early to worry about jury twists. We're too punch drunk from this week's twist to talk about jury twist. Let's take another question. Let's go to Jesse, who says, can you see Kelsey winning Big Brother Canada 4? I think if she can make it to the end, she will have earned it, more likely to win than any of the other women remaining. Okay. A lot of very loaded comment here. First part, Alex, if Kelsey made it to the end, do you see her as a winner?
It's tough. I mean, probably not. The way she's played has kind of irked people. And then also just the fact that she's getting a second chance. Like, people usually don't want to vote for that person and talk about it. But we've never seen that person actually get to the end. So I don't want to rule her out completely, you know, but I don't really see it.
Taryn, are you buying or selling Kelsey is the most deserving woman left in the house?
Oh, no. Cass is way, way, way better. I honestly, I'd probably take Nikki over Kelsey in a final two, which is crazy to say. But that doesn't mean that Kelsey is completely drawing dead. I just think it's probably like kind of like if Aaron from Big Brother 15 got to the end. That kind of thing.
Wow. That bad?
Well, people didn't mind her in the house. That's the thing.
Okay. Matthew wants to know, if it wasn't for Tim and Nikki, this cast would be as unlikable as the cast of Fear the Walking Dead, minus the great Kim Dickens, of course. Is that true? Who's the more likable TV character, Alex? Nick from Fear the Walking Dead or Jared?
Can I go with option C, Strand?
Hey, Strand, do you need somebody to go on the boat with you? Because I love, you know, I've got this jacket and, you know, my family. If you don't have any drugs on the boat, do you? Fear the Walking Dead stuff. Okay, comes back this week in RV and Ervest. R Vandervest. Thoughts on final comments of the third wheel before leaving? Seem like and there must be a typo here. A Mitch move. Okay. Taryn, did you like that move that Mitch made? I asked him about it in the exit interview, and we'll play it at the end of this podcast if you're listening to the audio version. But I asked him about that. I said, were you really going to vote for one of the third wheel if they got to the end? He said, yes, I would, but it was also a game move. Did you like that he did that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going out swinging every chance he gets. You know, it was stupid of them to take him out in the first place. He was, you know, working with them. He was like, you know, I'd rather see somebody else win this game, so I'm going to throw this wrench into their game. I'm sure that it's going to be in people's minds. And if they do get to the end, I'm sure he's willing to vote for them if he genuinely thinks they played the best game. But it obviously, if he doesn't think that, he's not going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see. Alex, do you think that changes anybody's mind on anything, any of these votes where, you know, we see it a lot on Survivor, we see it a lot on Big Brother. Hey, just so you know, if this person's in the end, they've got my vote. Do you think, does that ever change anything?
I don't know if it, you know, single-handedly by itself changes anything, but it does leave an impression. You know, the last memory you have of Mitch is him saying that. And that sticks in people's minds more than other moments of Mitch will. You know, that's just like the way the human brain works. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is. It is interesting. Like, I liked his explanation in that he just kind of wanted to give them an obstacle the way he had an obstacle. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's an acceptable move. I would have reacted worse than he did given the whole situation. So I think if that's the only moment of like pettiness he shows, then that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, I think it means more coming from Mitch than it does like Troyzen or something.
I think Troyzen said the opposite of in terms of Kim. I don't think so.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, BB President wants to know, did Mitch want to avoid getting Gottfried in the final two and started being too active too early, i.e. campaigning for Raul and flipping Nikki versus Tim? Is that a thing, Alex, where people are like, well, I don't want to be seen as the Gottfried where people don't think I did enough, so I better start acting earlier?
I don't know if it was that so much as like once you get to a certain point and, you know, like week three, week four, where you know these people well enough that you would have a preference. Like, you know, we saw Andy do this too, and it's good gameplay unless there's somebody watching feeds ready to bust you. Basically, yeah, like, you know, when two people are up, you should have a preference. And even if you're not like making big moves, you can subtly steer the ship from behind the scenes and get the people to jury that you think will be conducive to you winning the game, because you definitely want to surround yourself with the kind of people in the late game that you think you can use or work with. So that there is a difference when people go up on the block early and you do want to make the right call, but yeah, you really don't want to spend too much social capital doing it. And I really thought he did a good job of that until things kind of went awry.
Taryn, I'm really just feeling like more and more on these shows that the right move is just survive one more week. I guess, and maybe this is the full Sandra of just don't get voted out. Just don't do it. You know, just, you know, keep your nose clean and then just get to the point where you're at the end to make a move. And I think the more moves you make early, the less of a chance you have to get to the end. Is that where this is all going?
I really don't, because you know, people keep trying to figure out like where did Mitch go wrong, but he really didn't go wrong anywhere. Even the edit is trying to do this, because I feel like production, they're like, oh, people are pissed at us for screwing Mitch over, so we're gonna try and act like it was his fault. Like, they acted like his speech in the power veto thing caused Jared to not use it on him, which is absolute nonsense. And then like asking him, where do you think you went wrong, Mitch, after he comes out of the house, like, You're where we went wrong.
I wasn't born in the States, Arissa. That's where I went wrong.
Right. Like, that's what I tweeted. Like, his biggest mistake is being Canadian. And it's like, people,
how dare you, Taryn?
The things people are saying, you might as well be like, well, if he was a good player, he would have just gotten American citizenship. Why didn't he just do that? It's like, it's impossible. You can't do things all the time. Like, everybody was making moves. Mitch was playing a game to be as safe as possible, and he still got hit by this. There's nothing you can do to avoid it. If you're actively playing to avoid this specific twist, then you're going to be way more in danger of everybody else in the house, and you're going to go like Christine did. Like, it just, there's no way around it.
Yeah. Boy, what do you, so it's just like the sort of thing, like, you know, it's like you could get hit by a bus getting out of bed in the morning. Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah, right. Basically. And, but it will, you're right, it will discourage people from playing the active game, because, and like, Mitch wasn't very active. Like, people like Jared and Levita, they were active. Mitch was very, like, he was very cautious. He was very careful. He played the middle like everybody else did, and he was doing it better than anyone else. Every single vote went his way. He had gotten to a point where he had made a power move and taken control of the house, and nobody knew it except for people watching the feeds. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's nothing you can do.
Well, could we argue that Mitch was playing a perfect Big Brother US game, but the Big Brother Canada game is such a different animal where it's so luck-based and twist-based that maybe there's a different part of the game strategy that we're just not thinking enough about?
There is no perfect Big Brother Canada game other than like just buy as many lottery tickets as possible. It's just so much luck involved. I mean, we saw the first season, it came down to Gary and Jillian, and Gary almost won. And I mean, come on. If luck isn't a huge factor, there's no way Gary's in that position.
But I kind of feel like, did Sarah last season play the perfect Big Brother Canada game?
I almost brought that up. Sarah made the wrong move at every single turn. I don't know if you listened to that podcast, Rob, but like every single move at every single turn was the wrong thing to do. And every single twist benefited her and got her another step forward in the game. And that's like the only thing she did well was be likable, but she still should have been gone if not for just blind luck at like every other week. So it's like, it really just comes down to luck. Because even if you say like, oh, you have to play Canada, you have to be likable. Mitch did that. He was very likable. He was one of the more likable people in the house. People are pissed that he's gone. It didn't help him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also it's important to say, like, people are saying that now, like, well, shouldn't you, you know, with hindsight, you know, it's easy to say like Mitch should have seen this coming, but this would only something like this, where a pre-juror comes back with knowledge, only happened last year for the first time. So it's very easy to think like that was last year's thing. That's not going to happen again. If it does, maybe later in the game. But, you know, there's no reason for Mitch to necessarily suspect they're doubling down on that twist. I thought we were supposed to expect the unexpected here. So, I mean, like, I think it's pretty, you know, now for next season, obviously, you know, people should have that in the back of their heads because they've done it twice. But, you know, it's just easier to say than do, really. So much more.
Yeah.
And some people are acting like, oh, everyone knew about Mitch's game already. He would have been in trouble anyway, which is just like, just because people say Mitch's name, it doesn't mean that he's in any trouble. It doesn't mean anything that people talk about him. They kind of knew what he was doing, but they couldn't do anything about it. It's exactly what Vanessa was doing. It's exactly what Derek was doing. Lots of very good players, people knew what they were doing and couldn't do anything about it because they were positioned so well. And that's exactly where Mitch was. He had all of the people who were really like his biggest rivals up against the ropes, and he was set to do really well. He was... like, again, people were talking about him, but he was in the best position of the house. Nobody was in a better position than him. So, like, when you say, well, oh, he should have been better than the best, it's like, what do you want from him?
Okay, so based on everything that we've talked about here in this conversation, who will win Big Brother Canada, Alex?
Joel.
I'm 100%. I'm all in. Joel will be the winner. Joel, he has everything going for him. He has everything going for him. And I believe that he's this season Sarah.
It very well could be. I mean, we've already seen him get away with, like, he's the HOH that evicted Kelsey. He's on the block, and they are not interested in taking a swing at him. So if you can pull that off just through your natural goofy demeanor or whatever it is, then something's working for you.
And he has what going for him where he's like, oh, he's so nice. He's so nice that he's not really, you know, he's not plotting against us because he's nice. He's going to get the benefit of a twist somewhere along the way. I feel pretty also convinced that Tim will not win the game, Taryn.
I mean, he does have a hard road. I think he's better than anybody else in the house, and I think he'll get very far, but I think winning a jury vote is going to be very hard, and obviously a twist could take him out randomly. I do think Joel is better than Sarah, actually. I think he has a very good strategic mind. He kind of got lost with the whole Levita thing, but he's really back in it. Obviously, he wasn't in as good a place as Mitch was. Everybody was talking about Joel. People were talking about targeting Joel prior to the twist, but he got lucky and he didn't get hit by the twist, so now he's in a very good position. Everybody's forgotten about him.
Yeah, and boy, if Joel can pull this off here, where we start to look at the lineage over the last couple of years of Big Brother, whether it's Ian Terry, Steve Moses, Joel, for the guy, the bespectacled guy that goes into the Big Brother 18 house, Alex, is that guy DOA already?
I think so, Rob.
Okay. Or I'm presuming that somebody in the Big Brother 18 house will have watched Big Brother Canada 4.
Yeah, you'll notice I just took mine off.
Yeah, you're that guy.
This is a very salient point you're making.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Nothing to do with being lumped into that group.
Yeah, just keep the Audrey look going. That'll be.
Yeah, No, don't worry about me if you see me in the Big Brother house. I don't have glasses.
It is the thing like with Mitch where people have talked about it. They've been like, you know, Joel with the glasses, he's the smart guy, he's the Steve. But again, just because people are talking about it, that happens every season. That it happened with Ian, it happened with Steve. They talk about it, but they don't do anything about it. And that's what's so strong about that game is people, the perception is so strong that it goes beyond their conscious thoughts and they just unconsciously don't see him as a threat because he's so nerdy and awkward.
Yeah. All right. This is from Moose Girl 1996. With Mitch gone, what now is Tim's biggest hurdle moving forward? Because to me, it seems like he has none, since Mitch was the only one reminding house guests that were there being misted by Tim. Taryn, what is the biggest roadblock for Tim at this point?
Production. 100%.
So I would feel like, just in a vacuum, I would feel like that production would be the biggest thing in Tim's favor, because I would feel like the production would say, we can't lose Tim. But you feel like that they can't help themselves, and no matter what they do, they're going to meddle with this in some way, and it's going to hurt Tim?
Absolutely. I'm sure they didn't want to lose Kevin last year, but they did.
But that was part of a triple eviction. I feel like that wasn't so much twist-based in terms of double eviction, triple eviction.
It's not like a typical like interference kind of twist, but it is like a random luck kind of thing where, you know, Brittany randomly got to evict two people in a row instead of, well, actually it was like four or five in a row, actually. Mm-hmm. But she randomly got to evict two people in one night as opposed to one. And like somebody like Willow, for instance, who was never going home if it weren't a triple, randomly went home. And it was the first time it had ever been introduced, so nobody could prepare for it. Stuff like that. Like, it's not necessarily like I'm really going to stick my hands in here and mold the season. It's just like we're going to throw in something with a very, very high variance, and it's going to really mess with somebody who couldn't possibly prepare for this outcome.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like they're poking sticks, really, with these twists. And yeah, I mean, they've like laid out a chock full of them, no doubt, before the season starts. And then they're just, yeah, I mean, they're like dropping a penny into the whirlpool, you know what I mean? And just like seeing what happens each time. You know, they have no real.
They're making wishes?
I think at this point they should be. And I bet they are. Yeah. They're hoping that a fan favorite doesn't go home to the next one, or there's going to be like full blown rioting on the streets of Ontario.
Yeah, and think about like the instant eviction is another kind of thing like that, where, I mean, obviously that's something that people can start to prepare for in some sense, but this instant eviction thing, it could have taken Netta out in season two. It very well could have. Allison wanted to go after Netta that week. Had she won that HOH, maybe Netta's gone, and maybe season two sucks all of a sudden. You know, like they can't help themselves. They put things up to luck, and they lose people that they really like.
Okay. Let's do one more question, then we can do live feeds. Let's take from Matthew, the over-under on the amount of triple evictions this season at 1.5. Alex, you got the over or the under?
Oh, man. Yeah, interesting question. I got the under. I don't think, like, it would just be so ridiculous to do two triple evictions. One is ridiculous. Two is just like, get out of here, man. Come on.
Yeah. Are you better off with one triple eviction or a couple of weeks of double evictions, Taryn?
I think doubles are way better. Less variance. You still get the excitement. It's much easier for somebody to, you know, actually plot and do good things. Like, I mean, what we saw Big Brother 15 with Andy was just phenomenal. It's going to be much harder to do that with a triple. It's too far. Double is exactly perfect. It's just enough to really get the blood pumping, but not enough that it's just like uncontrollable.
Okay. One more question before we go into the voicemail or the spoilers from the HOH. Back in season two, Arlie was the first person on the jury and was considered then as a no doubt, lock it in. He's an all-star. Is Mitch an all-star, and is there any doubt if he is or not? What do you think? Let's talk this through real quick, Alex. Did we see in that? Was there enough of a body of work, or do they owe it to him because of the circumstances?
And me and Taryn have actually talked about this a little bit this week, but yeah, you know, it really depends on it's, you know, it's getting to the point where they have a relatively sizable pool of former players. And I think it really depends what kind of theme they're going for. If they're looking to cast a group of threats to win, Mitch should be on the short list. If they're looking to cast like great TV, then it's up in the air. I mean, he did have some great DRs. He really did explain the game in a thoughtful and interesting way, I thought, and he was liked by the fans, so it's possible. If they're looking to cast big personalities who are going to make big moves, then Mitch is probably not getting in there. Then you're going to see LaVita and Maddie as your returners from this season.
Well, I do think that Mitch has, not necessarily on a game level, but on an entertainment level, like Dan potential, where Dan's not always exciting all the time, but put him in certain situations and he makes the season. And I think that's where we like pretty much saw Mitch in this week, where like he's willing to go balls to the wall and just go all out and make great TV, you know, crazy speeches, crazy moves, get the whole house into arguments. I think he really does have that entertainment side. So I do think we have a chance. Plus, I don't think it hurts that he has 5 million subscribers on YouTube.
Doesn't hurt.
All that stuff.
Good point.
I do think, though, that we are starting to get a little bit of a log jam for the sort of, you know, white guy strategist spot there in the Big Brother Canada. I mean, at some point, I feel like we're going to bump somebody out of here. I feel like that between him and Arlie and Kevin, whoever else you want to throw into that mix, I feel like that we have a lot of people that are filling potentially the same bucket. We still have to, you know, have like maybe, you know, some older people or some, you know, some jocks in the house. So it's I think that they're going to have some decisions to make with this.
Yeah. Even if you want to think about like, do they owe it to him because he got screwed by a twist? I saw a post on Reddit today that was like all the people that have been screwed over by twists in Big Brother history. And like more than half of them were from the Canada seasons, despite there being 17 US seasons.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty full list as well.
Yeah. The one thing that makes this all a lot easier to swallow is that, you know, Mitch has a good thing going on. Mitch is going to be fine without Big Brother. He never needed to do Big Brother. Not like some of these other people that we talk to all the time that really, you know, have this going on and that was about it. And really, you know, their sanity depends on the ability to play in another season of these shows. So Mitch is going to be fine no matter what.
We're getting him on the podcast, right?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, he said he listens. He said he listens to the podcast, so hopefully.
I know, it's so exciting.
Okay. Yeah, he was the one player, he's the first player ever, I think, that followed me and Taryn on Twitter before his season. Right?
What about Jordan Parhar? Oh, no, you guys didn't start covering until his season.
Yeah, we weren't in the game yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, history in the making. All right. let's get into talking about what's going on in the spoilers, of course. We've got, you know, a lot coming up in this next couple days. I know Jordan is down at the Reality Rally in Temecula. I believe is Mike Bloom filling in for Jordan on the Happy Hour this Sunday?
Yes.
Give it up for Mike Bloom this Sunday.
If you're me and Brent, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Should be a fun show this Sunday night on Reality TV Rehap Ups. Let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. let's go ahead and talk about the spoilers of what's going on. And Alex, who is the current reigning HOH?
It's Maddie.
Maddie. Uh-oh. Watch out, LaVita. Oh, no, she's already gone. Okay. So let's talk this through. Okay, so second HOH win for Maddie. Taryn, how about that?
Yeah, she's racking up the wins.
Yeah, so she's on her way. And now so is it time for the third wheel to go scrambling?
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? But not necessarily.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So what's going on, Alex?
Well, basically, I mean, it started out, I mean, it seemed like, you know, the no-brainer move coming out of last week is to put up Jared and Kelsey side by side. Over the course of, like, the last night, just being in the HOH room, you know, HOH changes a person, Rob, especially if they're not, like, that much mental fortitude to begin with.
How dare you? What are you, Ica?
I guess.
Ica didn't like a Maddie from what I heard on the Happy Hour.
Not a big fan. But yeah, I mean, so now she's really like seemingly leaning towards Kelsey in a pawn or, you know, Cass in a pawn or the brothers in a pawn. But like she wants to put up Nikki as a pawn because she thinks Nikki is super safe and no one will get rid of her. The pitch that people are making to her that seems lost on her is if you put up Kelsey, which she seems to want to do, and not Jared or Raul, that if one of them win veto and take down Kelsey and they're safe too, that her options become very limited. And she's just like not hearing that part, I guess. She really wants to play the pawn game, and it's just like not good time for that.
Yeah. All right, Taryn, do you think that that Maddie is going to once again blow her HOH?
I don't think so. I think that Tim is going to get in her ear, because something that Tim did really well last week, like I said, this twist was great for his game. He managed to get out his biggest threat and managed to steal his allies right out from under him as he left out the door. Tim has completely taken over Maddie's brain. He had a great conversation with her where he talked about, like, you need to target Kelsey and Jared. And obviously, you know, she's still out in her own world and she's talking about all kinds of different nominations. She talks about how she wants to nominate the whole house. She had a very funny conversation with Ramsey last night where she was talking about wanting to put up Cass. And then he was like, you know what? Okay, fine. Yeah, we can put up Cass. Let's get Cass out. And then she was like, why are you telling me what to do? I don't want to get Cass out. And like the second he agrees with her, she's like, oh, you're telling me what to do. And then changes her mind. So I mean, she's gone back and forth, but I really think that ultimately we're going to see, I think we're going to see Kelsey and Jared on the block with, Nikki as the potential renom as a pawn.
Okay. Just because the house would keep her no matter what. Is Nikki on her way to filling her Victoria like, destiny, Alec?
What's funny, because like, you know, that would be, if you're just watching the show or if you're a casual watcher, like that would definitely be the perception. Cause that's really all you get to see of Nikki is the crazy moments. But it's amazing to listen to her talk on the feeds, especially lately. Like, she really does have a good grasp, maybe not of the strategy of the game, but on the social dynamics of the house. I mean, she knows where people are at. She is very, very tuned into who's being real with her and who's not. And I mean, that really speaks to her knowledge of people. And yeah, she's in a great position. I think it's also interesting to note that there was some controversy surrounding this HOH competition, apparently, which we will probably see on the show, no doubt.
So what is the controversy?
It's a little BB9-ish where I guess Maddie won HOH on the second question of a before and after, where everyone else answered wrong, although they all think they answered right. Apparently, the question was, did the alarm go off before or after? It was like the week of when Joel was HOH. Did the alarm go off before or after some event? I can't remember what it was, but everyone answered before, thinking like the first time the alarm went off was weeks earlier, when really it was like after, because they meant like what time for that day only, which it happened first. So really it seems like Maddie just answered wrong. Everyone else like answered right. And Maddie just won the competition.
Yeah. But I mean, isn't the toothpaste out of the tube here? I mean, aren't we a couple days after the competition now?
Yeah, no. If people, Tim's had a line on the, cause people are still kind of complaining about it behind closed doors, but Tim had a line like, well, if we were going to say something to production, we should have done it by now. It's too late, you know? So, but it's funny that this is like still dialogue in the house, and it only fuels the third wheel's idea that, like, you know, obviously they've done a 180. They're mad and they're frustrated now. And it only fuels their anger that Maddie wasn't even supposed to win this thing, you know?
Oh, this is so messed up, that production. And they're trying to screw me, you Raul. That it was all getting screwed. It's messed up. I want to go back to Nikki and talk about her on the block as the de facto pawn week after week. You know, I do feel like that there's a certain sensibility to the people that were really good at it, whether it's a Victoria or a Spencer or an AJ. And I think that that sensibility is sort of like the, I'm on the block and not going crazy. But I kind of feel like that is also the opposite of Nikki Graham. Like, can't you see her? Even if you completely guaranteed her safety and told her, Nikki, you're going up on the block, you're the pawn, don't worry about it. Like, don't you see her at the renomination ceremony just like, how dare you put me up on the block? isn't she going to go nuts, Alex?
That's a pretty good impression.
This is such crap.
It's definitely possible. I mean, she did tell Maddie, like, don't put me up. Don't put me up next to Kelsey.
Because she hates Maddie, right?
She's not fond of Maddie, but she really hates the third wheel more now, I think. And because they isolate themselves. So she has to talk to Maddie, because the third wheel are in a bedroom by themselves with the door closed or whatever. So who's like, Nikki's running out of people to talk to who will talk to her. The thing is, though, Maddie asked her, like, who told you that I was thinking about using you as a pawn? And it was Tim that told her. And Nikki was like, oh, Jared. So Maddie's like furious at Jared now. And it's like Nikki just pulled the wool over on her so good. And it's like the person you would least suspect to just like hoodwink somebody in this game just did. And it's pretty great.
Okay. All right. So, Taryn, do you feel confident that Kelsey's going to go this week?
No, I think it could easily be Jared, even Raul, honestly, even the brothers and maybe even Cass, because Maddie is so all over the place. If the veto gets used, she could nominate any one of those people. If Tim has his way, I think it'll be either Kelsey or Jared. So I believe Tim will probably get his way and it will be one of those people, but with Maddie, you never know.
How about the showmance between Maddie and Ramsey? How's that going, Taryn?
Well, you know that conversation I told you about last night?
Showmance.
It's pretty much that. Yeah. We're basically, I mean, Maddie's talked about like, yeah, I'm doing this for strategy, just like she was. I feel like Maddie got her validation of Ramsey saying that he was going to do things to her. And now she's kind of bored already. I don't know. It's just, it's hard for me to talk about Maddie because she's so completely the opposite of everything that I am.
Does not compute.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some questions. What Up 5 wants to know, do you really think that he would, that I guess Mitch would give his vote to the third wheel in the finals? He said that he would.
I think he would give it to Jared. I don't think he would give it to Raul or probably Kelsey.
Thanks for the vote, Mitch. Appreciate it. But depending, I guess, who they're up against also. I feel like if it was like Joel up against like Kelsey, I can't imagine he's going to say, well, you know, I did say the third wheel would get my vote here. So it would depend. Bliss 44, spoiler question. Who's afraid of what Maddie does on her HOH? Taryn, you want to take this one?
Well, Kelsey is terrified. Cass is afraid. I mean, everybody in the house is afraid except for Tim, because Tim's on top of it. But yeah, Kelsey's been freaking out. She had a long conversation with her where she said stuff like, I know you were good friends with Mitch, so I'm sorry that I had to be the, I mean, Raul had to be the one to put him up. and Maddie told her that she's the prom king or prom queen, and that she gets along with too many people and also isolates herself too much. So Kelsey's just been going around like freaking out about everything Maddie said.
Yeah. What happened to all of Kelsey's campaign promises, Taryn? To get back in the house.
Just another politician. That
just another politician. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she went back into the house and immediately blew up her own spot and tanked her game.
What do you think LaVita's reaction has been this week, Alex, to seeing Kelsey go back into the house? She got Mitch out. She's done this. I mean, you think that LaVita is like, that's not really how we draw it up, or is Kelsey yas queening?
Yeah, no, from following LaVita on Twitter, it does seem like she's very supportive of Kelsey. And I feel like she was probably going to be no matter what Kelsey did, because they spent a week in there together. So now they're like sisters. But, they like been through the gauntlet together, you know what I mean? So there's like a trial by fire. But no, I mean, a lot of her tweets have been like, if Mitch was such a good player, he would have gotten himself out of it and stuff. I'm like, I got to get off Twitter for a little while.
I do feel like that maybe if we could say like the biggest thing that Mitch did wrong, I kind of think, and I asked him about this today with the vote for LaVita versus Kelsey. Taryn, was it maybe the biggest mistake to let Kelsey back in the house and not LaVita? Because wouldn't LaVita have self-destructed imminently?
Sure, but as Mitch pointed out, like, there's no way for him in that moment. Like, not even Dr. Will could sway that vote. If everybody wants to keep Kelsey and he's the only person that doesn't, he blows up his spot with Jared and Raul anyway if he's firmly against it and manages to convince the entire house not to do it.
Yeah,
so it's like,
it's a tough spot.
There's no winning in that situation.
Yeah. I guess so. He had no idea that she's coming back into the house with, you know, to target him. Maybe if she said in her speech, you know, what she was planning on doing, but he doesn't know that she's coming back.
And even then, like, she wasn't like she was going to blow up his game, but she wasn't necessarily going to target him until Raul did his blow up thing. And like, just events conspired and, you know, things happened. And like, as far as he should have been a better player, like, we've never seen any player in the history of the game get out of a spot as tough as this. So, except for maybe Dan Gysling. So, if we're saying that he should have been Dan Gysling, otherwise he's not a good player, that's just absurd.
But I just feel like that the argument that I didn't see enough people making in that conversation, and we saw just a snippet of it, of like, okay, who's the worst player? Why aren't we bringing the person who is the worst player back in here? You know, Kelsey, I love Kelsey. All due respect, that Kelsey is amazing. She's the best. She'll probably win if she comes back in here. And selfishly, you know, we should get a shot to win because Kelsey's so good. You know, she's you know, she's such an attractive, non-Muppet looking person, and she'll come back and she'll do great. Why don't we bring back the person who's going to probably lose right away? That's Levita.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense on paper, you know, but this isn't a very strategic group, A, you know, we know this. And then B, I mean, Jared and Raul, you know, I mean, it really is hard when two people are sitting there like me and just like sitting on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They would not budge on this thing. There was no way to get them to budge. The only way to counteract that is like three or more people have to be the same from the opposite side. And like, where's that going to come from? You know, like Mitch could have done that, but he would have had to burn all his social capital with Jared and Raul at the very least to do it. And like Joel is just not that kind of guy. Maddie, for all her talk about like, you know, she was the only one that really wanted to do it. Like Maddie was arguing the points for both sides from what I saw. So it's just that, you know, there wasn't like a big contingent of voices that really understood what was going on. Mitch was kind of the one person like, guys are going to regret this, but I, you know, what can he do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the most likely scenario, the most likely outcome, if Mitch actively campaigns against Kelsey is it sets off alarms in Raul and Jared's minds. He fails to get the house to get rid of Kelsey anyway. And then it just gives Kelsey's ideas against Mitch more credence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's do from Karen. Does anyone else want Marsha the Moose to slap Maddie? Whoa, is this from Ika or Karen?
Well, Marsha doesn't have hands, but I guess she could gore. Yeah, with those horns.
Gore Maddie with the boy. God forbid. God forbid. Okay. This is from Josh Miller, who wants to know, why do we only see house guest talk strategy to Phil, never Nick? Seems odd. All right. Who wants to field that question?
Well, basically, Nick doesn't have a card, a membership card to the game. Phil took it away and he's on probation. So nobody's allowed to talk game with Nick. He tried in the beginning, but he's resigned to his role as sidekick.
Should we say, though, that the brothers twist has been a successful move, something that we all thought was pretty stupid and lame coming into the beginning of the season? Alex, are you ready to say thumbs up on the brothers twist?
I still think it's a little stupid and lame. I was like, what's the point? Like, why couldn't they, if you wanted to have two brothers in the house, cool, but why can't they be separate players? You know what I mean? Or just like, yeah, like I just don't see the appeal of having an extra body in there that's just a body. I mean, he's a blank slate. He can't do anything. Phil won't let him. He, like, in theory, he should have half of a vote, but he doesn't. So it's just kind of point. Like, Nick's just like a vestigial Nick just hanging on. Like, there's really no value to it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it didn't, like, it wasn't a twist that, like, really have to up the game. So I have to like it better than most.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I just don't see a lot of upside with it.
They created a player in the game whose most interesting part of the season so far is getting broken up by Maddie.
I guess if they won HOH, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen that yet. And I'd like to reserve judgment to some degree, because seeing them win HOH, maybe Nick tries to get in there more.
And we haven't seen them on
power
the block.
Goes to their head. Yeah. So, I mean, there's potential still.
I mean, have they even won a power veto either?
Yeah.
The first one. That's right. But so, yeah, I think it would be really interesting to see them in some sort of, like, before this is all said and done. I do think that there's more juice to be left for this. Taryn, do you think people will see this in Big Brother US at some point?
Oh, I hope not. I don't mind there being brothers. Just like, let them play. Like, I don't get the benefit to not letting them play their own game. It just makes it so that there's one alpha and there's one beta, and that beta is just going to kind of be worthless for most of the time. If they're both their own players, then it leads to some interesting scenarios.
Hmm. I'm trying to think. I feel like I've enjoyed this more than I enjoyed the Liz and Julia, with all due respect.
To be fair, I think Phil and Nick are way more engaging than Liz and Julia were.
I was going to say, yeah, like that we haven't seen big, like, hulky dudes try to play as one, but I think that would be very interesting too. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah. Should they be handcuffed to each other, Alex? Would that be more fair?
I don't know. I mean,
well, handcuffs with like a 3 foot like bungee cord. They don't have to be right next to each other.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, yeah, they have a bit of an advantage in the fact that they can be in two places at once, but they're not really using it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not on the same page ever. Phil's just like, sit there and be quiet. So they're not taking any advantage that may be there to be had. Mm-hmm. And between the two of them, they still don't have, like, even though they have definitely watched the show, like, between the two of them, they're still making the wrong moves at times. So it's not like, one Mitch's brain has shown to be consistently quicker with the strategy of this game than the two of them combined. So, yeah.
But Taryn, wouldn't the brothers winning be the most Big Brother Canada thing ever?
I think the brothers losing because of an accident in the vote would be the most Big Brother Canada thing ever.
Okay.
That's not what I wrote. That's not, excuse me, Arissa.
I only wanted Nick to win, not Phil.
All right. This is from Messerin on Twitter. I've never heard Taryn fired up this week. Now, Taryn has been on fire all week long. All the live feed correspondents between Brent on Periscope this week, Alex is fired up. The live feed correspondents are really turned up this week.
Yeah, you know, I've come to accept that players are going to get screwed over by production. But it's like, it's the people that are trying to take away credit from Mitch and production trying to take away credit from Mitch. That's like, you really have to do that when he's already down and he was playing so well and you're being super results oriented and saying that like he must have done something wrong because he's leaving the game. It's just like, you guys are smarter than that. Come on.
And he's handling it so well. You know, like, this is a lot that went against him that really he had no control over. And like, I'll be the first to say that, like, you would not want me back on these shows if I had been on the show and been subjected to that circumstance, because I would be like horrible. I would be losing it. That's awful.
Right. But I mean, but Mitch has so much else going on in life. You know, it's like he's a super successful person. It's, you know, just like with these amazing race people on the social media season where it's like, you know, that they've got their day job. You know, this isn't, Big Brother wasn't going to change, you know, even like, you know, winning the game was going to be like, oh, that would be really nice, but it wasn't going to be like the ultimate, you know, crowning achievement in Mitch's life. So it's sort of like, you know, I wish that would have worked out.
Yeah, he was there for the title for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like he had potential to be this like great character that did really well. Like he had the potential to be like a Dan Giesling, a Dr. Will, like not necessarily on their level, but that kind of character. And it's just like, we get so few people with that potential. It's a shame we never got to see if it would have played out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is from Terry Lynn. Hi guys. Any news on Jace? Any news on Jace, Alex?
Last I saw, he's still partying up in Canada. Has he come back down south of the border yet? Or is like... Maybe he's realized, like, hey, you know, healthcare is good up here. Like, I don't know.
Gotta get back for BB18.
Gotta hurry back. Hurry back, Jace. Okay. This is from Aunt Mora, who wants to know, since Mitch overheard the convo in the pantry between Raul and Jared, don't you think his best move was to tell the third wheel what they wanted to hear and grovel pre-HOH and nominations? Alex, would that change anything to reverse course and go back to the third wheel? Or were they so anti-Mitch by that point, they felt like they had him busted, that there's nothing he could have said?
Yeah. I mean, so is he talking about after Kelsey's back, right?
Yeah,
I would imagine. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, right, like, there's just no, you know, he tried it. I mean, he really tried it before the veto ceremony. That was his plan. That was his strategy. He really did try to endear himself back to them because there was still a chance, you know, especially after Jared wins veto. Like, you know, that's definitely the play, is to try to endear yourself to Jared, who has the veto, and Raul, who can make the change. But yeah, I mean, once it became very clear that wasn't going to happen, and it was pretty abundantly clear, he had to start going the opposite direction, you know, doing the Godfrey move, which is like, there's the target. He's the biggest shark in the pond, and I want his blood all over my hands. You know what I mean? Which is, it's proven to be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's again, I think another case where the edit kind of portrayed it in a way where it seemed like he wasn't doing that. And we didn't get the feed, so we won't necessarily know the truth. But Mitch said that he did try a lot. So despite what the edit kind of portrayed, I think, yeah, he was trying.
I do feel like that was in the show to some degree also of him going back to them. And they're just like, but there was Raul saying like, I feel like you're lying to me. I feel like you're lying. You're lying right now. He's like, well, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth.
I just feel like this is more lies coming from you. I feel like you're lying to us. Maybe we caught you in a lie. Just take it like a man. And yeah, it was a lot of that. A lot of that. No matter what they said, like, you're lying.
It's funny, too, because he was telling the truth in that moment, at least from what we saw on TV. Like, he was trying to say, like, no, this is what was actually happening. But the exaggerations from that isolation period where her and Levita just, like, cooked up so many conspiracy theories, just, like, it couldn't get through to him.
Yeah. Okay. Kimberly, don't you think that Mitch could sway the jury to vote who he wants to win based on his moves in the house? Okay. All right. So we know that, you know, Mitch has these powers of manipulation. Do you think that we start to see Darth Mitch at this point? I watched a video on his YouTube channel of him doing a cappella Star Wars songs. Could we see Darth Mitch come to pass, Taryn?
You know, it would be fun, but like I don't want to see him as the kind of person that's going to like intentionally taint a jury. I think that at best or at worst, it would be that he really thinks that this person played the best game and he's going to make sure that other people understand that. I don't think he's going to be like Peter and Alec.
Yeah, the fans don't like that. I mean, Peter and Alec, I think, still deal with that stuff from people of like,
they should.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough to deal with. And especially when you know when you're a super fan in the jury, like I really do think that people like really do expect you to vote for the best player. I think that's tough.
Yeah, they hold you to that standard because you're supposed to know. You know what I mean? Like that this is what the game is, you know? And yeah, I definitely think that, you know, I agree with Taryn, like Mitch doesn't have that maliciousness in him. Like we would have seen it, you know what I mean? When the twist hit him, he would have been like much more animated than he was. So clearly he's a guy that's going to assess and make a logical choice. I think what really could happen though, is because there's a lot of like moldable minds in there, shall we say, that, you know, his voice and his opinion on what's going on in the game and who's playing a good game is going to carry a lot of weight as people start to file in there, just because he speaks in a way that is very, you know, people want to listen. He's very intelligent.
Okay. Let's take a couple more questions. Let's do this one from R. Vandervest. Thoughts on Cass's position in game. She seems to always be in a good position, despite the fact people don't take her seriously because she's so transparent. I picked her to be pre-jury. She proved me wrong. Once again, another Rob prediction that did not go as planned. Taryn, what do you think about Cassandra?
Cassandra's interesting. She's kind of, again, she's one of those players that was trying to do the same thing as Mitch, but was doing it much worse. She was very obvious about it. Lots of people were targeting her. She has no like chill. Like she can't help herself but be passive aggressive in conversations if she's annoyed at you. And it leads to some funny but sometimes frustrating conversations. She was very, very greatly benefited by this twist. I think that her and Tim will do very well together. I think Tim is going to try and protect her for a little while. She's definitely still in danger this week, was very, very much in danger before Tim got in there. But she is playing, like I said, she has that strategic mind where she's going to be able to make the right kinds of moves. It's just that her personality might rub people the wrong way and get her targeted.
Alex, you see it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very astute, honestly. I mean, I think it really is a situation where... Yeah, I don't have anything to add on that one, Rob. Taryn just laid it out for me.
It's unless Taryn just nails it.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott says, should Mitch not have tried to play his ASAP science card to appeal to Raul Moore? I guess that came out late in the game. Do you think, Alex, could he have Frankie Grande'd it? Could he have truly shine bright like a Frankie?
Who wants to shine bright like a Frankie? You know, it's funny. I mean, that was the last real, you know, strategic kind of action that he implemented, was to tell that to Raul. And, you know, at first it didn't seem to really like have an effect. But like after a few hours, Raul just like had a like kind of a revelation. He's like, oh no, all Mitch's followers are going to hate me. And like, he hadn't really pieced that together. And so I think now that's part of why, like, obviously Raul's depressed that Mitch is gone and he had a hand in sending him out. But I think Raul is also moping now and like carrying Mitch's pillow around everywhere he goes, in part because he feels like he doesn't want that taint on him when he comes out of the house. Like Raul has said, he came here to be famous, and taking out the guy who A is loyal to you and B has 6 million subscribers is not the best way to go about that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be that big a deal. I don't think that's, yeah. Tyron, is that going to be a thing? I don't really feel that that's the, you know, are ASAP Science followers going to turn on Raul?
Well, that's exactly what Mitch said to him. He was like, listen, my followers are not going to be like, they're science people, like they're learning people.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, you know, crazy people on Twitter that are going to like hate you or anything, but that doesn't matter to Raul. Like he was really hit by it. Like you could just see it in his face. He's still out for the count. Like he just hasn't been able to get over this. Like I was very good friends with this like famous person and I totally just messed that up.
I just to be 100% clear about this, that I don't believe at all that, you know, Mitch's what does he have, millions of YouTube subscribers, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So he's got millions of YouTube subscribers. Like those people are not gonna harass Raul. The Big Brother fans are gonna harass Raul. That's not gonna be who's harassing Raul. That's not gonna be like the people that are gonna be antagonizing him are not gonna be the, you know, ASAP Science viewers. They're gonna be the people that the egg people and whatnot that watch Big Brother.
But what about the people that started watching Big Brother for Mitch? Because I have seen some of them out and about.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're not going to be as invested in the game to say, like, they're just like, oh, great, Mitch will be back to making science videos soon. Like, I don't think they're going to be like, how dare you? Those will be the Big Brother viewers. Okay. King Matt 334 says, why is Alex wearing what looks like to a mountain of clothes?
I was trying to get a guest for tonight, Rob. I know you know this, and I wasn't able to secure a guest, so I figured the least I could do is dress up like one.
Okay. You know? All right. There was somebody named Audrey on Big Brother 17 who wore something similar when they were all so sad. Diane Godin says, here's a special twist about how Canada votes to exchange a juror with a house guest. Boy, Karen, is that a possibility? That'll keep me up at night.
Oh, I mean, that sounds exactly like the kind of thing they would do. It would get another player to return without adding to the player count. So, sure.
Yeah. I didn't even have to get the message from Scott that we're running thin on questions after that.
Like as much as I love Mitch, like I hate twists more, and I don't want to see a twist even if it means getting Mitch back. Like, I mean, granted, I feel like the game has already been compromised. Like whoever wins at this point has to like have the slight asterisks of the best player in the house was taken out by this thing that you know, you couldn't have done on your own, mm-hmm. or at least we didn't see that you could have done it on your own. And that harms everybody in the game, even the people that benefited from the twist. So it's like, it's just, it's bad all around.
Big Brother Canada has become like the steroid era in baseball. Just asterisks all around.
All right. So Alex, if this didn't happen though, what was the percentage chance Mitch was winning the game?
I think it was, I mean, not necessarily, you can't go like crazy high because there's still a lot of game to be played and a lot of players left and a lot of twists surely to come that could have also gotten him. But, you know, it was higher than anyone else in the house by at least a tiny percentage.
Was it 20% that he was going to win if was still in the house? If this twist did not happen, was that 20% or was it higher?
I might have given him 20. I don't know if I would have gone to 30, though, just because of how many people are left. But I think there are a few people that would have been noticeably lower. And then there's like a good cluster that are like, you know, all have like a reasonable share of some equity at this point.
Taryn, you agree 20% for Mitch?
Yeah, I'd say like 25.
25. Okay. Fair enough. Well, Mitch was gone too soon. He was somebody who was very fun to watch. And again, I think that, as Taryn put it pretty eloquently, I think that we were just robbed of potential of what was going to happen about, you know, it did seem like, I felt like that he was on a Netta Big Brother Canada 2 track where, you know, his signature moves were still to come and we did not get to see them play out in this season. I think that that is as much as a reality TV travesty could happen. You know, we're talking about, you know, nonsense at the end of the day, as opposed to any sort of thing in the real world. But we were robbed of getting to see maybe something cool this season. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a crime against humanity. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Moose Girl 1996 says outrage at BB Can production this week. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Crime against immunity.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very sad. All right. All right, we're going to start to work on a hashtag as well. The next Big Brother Canada podcast is going to be coming up Sunday night. Mike Bloom will be hosting for Jordan Parhar, who's down at the reality rally. Saw some pictures already on Facebook. Living it up with the reality rally crew down there in Temecula. Lots of fun stuff going on there. Busy afternoon in the reality TV world as well. Lots of great podcasts up for you guys this week on the Robism podcast. We had a really fun interview with Chaos Cass. We also had Chaos Keev to talk about the voicemails on the Survivor podcast as well. Exit interviews. We're going to get into Amazing Race coming up here tonight in a little bit. Plus, all sorts of great stuff on the wrap ups and on post show recaps, including we just posted our Walking Dead feedback show for the season 6 finale as we get ready for the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead as well. So basically, lots of podcasts for you guys to listen to, and really appreciate the good stuff from the live feed correspondents, Alex and Taryn, here today. Great job, guys.
Yep. Happy to podcast. Not so happy about what's going on, but always happy to podcast.
Yes. All right. Follow Alex on Twitter. He is at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. You guys are both going to be in New York at the Live Know-It-Alls this week at the Podcast House.
Yeah.
Are you guys planning on doing any podcasting from Podcast House?
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get people's hopes up or, you know, put anything out there. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody cares. Yeah, we might do something.
It does seem like a missed opportunity for there to not be any podcast recorded in person.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the holdup? Is somebody against it?
No, it's just like equipment and finding the time and,
no holdup. I just
going to try.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll try.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. All right. Well, good stuff. All right. What's the hashtag, Taryn?
Oh, there's a good one. Stupid with an S.
Stupid with an S. I just feel bad. I don't want to really go after Cindy here. I don't want Jordan to get upset with us. And Cindy seems like a very nice person.
You're gonna you get a text from Jordan like, hey, Cindy saw it and she's not amused.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do stupid with an S, but it's that it, we're not real. We're talking about how this situation was stupid. Not Cindy.
Yes. Yeah. We're disavowing any Cindy hate.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't want to get into Cindy bashing because she seems like she's and again, I interviewed her one time. She seems like she's very fun. Okay. All right, so that's going to do it here for us. If you're listening to the audio podcast, stay tuned for the exit interview with Mitch. That's also published separately if you are looking for it in your podcast feed as well. I don't know if we're going to do that every week, but for the important ones, we'll do that, okay? Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. All right, before we get into our Big Brother Canada exit interview with Mitch that you heard me talk about during the live show with Alex and Taryn, I just want to take a moment and mention that if you are not listening to this show on the Podcast One app, you could be missing out because the free app makes it so easy to customize your own playlists for you and check out the other great podcasts available on Podcast One, the podcast network home of Rob is a Podcast. In fact, you should download it and check out the Eddie Trunk podcast because Eddie is the host of VH1's That Metal Show and he just interviewed guitar legend Uli John Roth and got inside information on the latest tour, The Ultimate Guitar Experience. So make sure you download it now and listen to it now at podcastone.com, available in the Apple App Store and for Android as well. All right, so let's get into our Big Brother Canada exit interview with Mitch. Let's patch him in. Mitch, are you there?
Hey, Rob. It's nice to meet you. I'm a big fan of you and your podcast, so it's a pleasure to be chatting with you today.
Well, you know what? It's goddamn terrible to be talking to you right now, Mitch. I am so mad. Yeah. I am so mad. This is. I don't normally swear. This is bullshit. That's right.
Well, thank you for standing up for me, and I'm upset as well, but it is the game, and here we are, and so now we will chat about it.
Okay. I don't know. You can't say it. I'll say it, but this is messed up. All right, Mitch Mastermind. All right. Just could you talk about this? I mean, how do you come to terms with this, that you have LaVita and Kelsey, they're out of the house, and then they talk about it and they come back in and then they blow up your whole spot? The season was going to be so boring because you were going to win so easily.
Yeah, you know what? In some ways, it made my game way more exciting than it was. So I was happy to experience that in some ways because it's a game and I love Big Brother and I've loved it for so long. And so that I got to be part of something that was a true challenge for me, and that I got to switch up my game and test myself was exciting, but obviously also a huge bummer that it was like the perfect storm of bad luck where the two people who couldn't have gotten in a room together and said anything good about me were there and had a week to kind of discuss me because I was the one that was implicated in both of their evictions. And so it was like unfortunate, obviously, but I was up for the challenge. And when it happened, I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. I'm excited. It's kind of liberating in a little bit because now I get to do what I came here to do, which is like really see if I can play this game. And it didn't work out for me, but I'm happy about the experience. I have no regrets about being on the show. And, you know, twists sometimes take out people in this game that I've loved or respected. And that's part of the game we all sign up for when we sign up for it. So can't complain too much, but those two will be the bane of my existence for every interview I do here on out.
Now, this week, I thought it was so interesting, and I thought that this was the right approach. You just went like full Heisenberg mode of, all right, you know what? That's it. I had this only one way out of this, and this is to go, you know, just like full Gisling, and you're just going to really just go nuts and really unmask yourself. Do you feel like in hindsight, do you think that maybe it would have worked out better based on the reaction to not have gone full tilt then this week?
I don't think so, especially because I was beside Joel, who I knew would have that approach to be the nice guy, to be the one who was non-threatening, who didn't have a lot of connections in the house and had no particular agenda. For me, I knew that I could not regain trust with the trio. I tried so hard in the days previous, when before the veto was played. And so, you know, from an emotional angle, from a strategic angle, I just couldn't convince Raul to trust me. And as a byproduct, I knew I couldn't convince Jared and Kelsey. And so in my mind, it was really the only move that I had to make to switch it up, to make people see how big of a threat and a target that trio is in this game, and that people needed me. And they needed to believe that I hated them and I needed them to actually hate me in order to accomplish this. And so I don't regret it. I think if I had just played the passive game, I would have kicked myself way more leaving the house thinking like, oh, I should have tried harder. And so I'm fully content knowing that I switched it up and gave my game a good go. And it is what it is. Sometimes the twist can get the best of you.
And you really pioneered this idea of, you know, the mighty middle. Let's keep everything, you know, we'll be the middle people who will keep these two sides of fighting with each other. But then after we had the return of Kelsey this week, you know, there was so much backlash on you. Why was it you? Why were you singled out as the person who was really the person in the middle that was the problem?
I'm not sure. I think it's all the perspective on who was talking to who in the middle. And that's what I was trying to get across to them. Like, yes, Kelsey has brought back some things that are true, but the perspective was that they were missing was that the brothers were also in these conversations about the middle, and LaVita and Joel and Cassandra at some points. And so it just so happened that obviously I was partially responsible for Kelsey leaving. And then when LaVita was up on the block, I did not save her. And so I think that's why it came down to me, that their evictions could be tied back both to me in some ways. And I don't know, it was a frustrating position to be in because, you know, I would acknowledge to them, like, look, you guys all had different relationships in this house. Don't pretend like we didn't all have different sorts of alliances, whether they had names or not. And, you know, I'd be hypocritical to be mad at you for having those things, but they were just dead set on pinning it against me. And it probably was their better move in some ways. I genuinely don't think it was Raul's because I had his back. Yes, I went after Kelsey, but I never would have gone after him, and I would have been happy to go closer to the end with him. But, yeah, it just kind of was that perfect storm of everything added up to go against me, and I just couldn't get over that hill.
Now, technically, it was Joel who was the HOH when Kelsey ended up going home. Was it unfair that you got so much of the blame for it when she came back into the house?
I think in some ways, yeah, I definitely had a hand in it, but if I was HOH, that wouldn't have been my nomination at the time because I couldn't afford to damage that relationship I had with them. And when Joel first became HOH, you know, my mind was set on Maddie and Dallas at the time, but obviously through conversations with Joel and Levita, sort of realized, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to drop someone out of this game that I don't need, but I won't get the chance to shoot at. So I was willing to let that happen, and I didn't influence it as much as I could have to save those two. But yeah, at the end of the day, it was Joel's decision, not Levita's or mine. It was Joel's. And, you know, Kelsey could have worked on improving her relationship. Raul could have worked on improving his relationship with both Joel and Levita, and that was their failure, not mine. And so the fact that I just happened to have a relationship with Levita and Joel in the house, really, you know, that was my better gameplay and their poorer gameplay at the time. But obviously that in the end came back to bite me.
You know, we didn't get to see a lot of it on the show, but you guys had to reach a unanimous decision between Levita and Kelsey. Was that a straightforward shot where there wasn't a lot of resistance to Kelsey coming back? Or were there a lot of people also lobbying for Levita? And where were you on this?
In my mind, you know, I wanted to make sure I saw where everyone was sitting first because I wasn't sure, okay, how do I reveal my cards? I knew that Kelsey may come back and would re-solidify that threesome, which I spent so much time trying to disassemble. But the vibe was fairly instantly Kelsey because people were intimidated by Levita. Even myself, I never knew if she truly trusted me. And so I had that level of sort of fear about, okay, if she comes back in the game, can I reform our connection that we had? And when you get, you know, 8 out of 11 voices saying instantly Kelsey, I knew that even if I was to promote Levita coming back in, it would do what I didn't want to happen, which was damage my relationship with Jared and Raul, and which was the entire point of what I didn't want to happen with Kelsey coming back or with Levita coming back. So I was in a peculiar position where I knew potentially Levita coming back was better for me, although a little bit less known. People knew where Kelsey would go. She would go back to the three, and things would be as people could predict, and people are scared of things when they can't predict them or they feel a little bit uneasy. But had the conversation been a little more even-sided, I think I could have come out more strongly for Levita and said, look, like, she was voted out second, and you know what, let's all team up and say we'll vote her out next, knowing very well that Kelsey was a bigger threat because of her connections in the house. But I just wasn't given that opportunity and didn't want to, on my own terms, ruin my relationship with Jared and Raul by pushing so hard to not have Kelsey back in the house.
Real quick, last thing. You said on the way out the door that you would vote for a third wheel member if they got to the end. Was that true or was that game?
It is true, and it's also game. So on the one hand, they're playing the game, and I respect it, and they're doing really well at it. And if they make it to the end, I will fully evaluate who they're beside. And emotions aside, I will vote for who I think played a better game based on everything I saw and based on everything I'll learn in the next weeks until the finals. But at the same time, you know, they're the reason I'm out here now. And so it was a final jab to them to say to everyone else, don't think you should bring any of them to the finals because they've lost one vote, because I will vote for them. So you better get them out now. So hopefully that makes their game just a little bit harder.
All right, Mitch, I will be in black the rest of the day in mourning about this, that we're all very upset here at RHAP. All the best. You would love to chat more when you get out of this whole operation. Okay.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. Take care, Dr. Mitch. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sorry I had to use that language there. This is very upset about this whole thing. It's a good player. Good player got done in by this twist. Big Brother Canada. You did it again. All right. That's going to do it here for this exit interview here with Mitch. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And of course, have a great weekend. Take care, everybody. Bye.